game where you have roughly a 7 to 8% chance of clicking on something that is not going to take you directly to a store to buy something.
Oh, Stumble Buddy.
And welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with tonight on our post-holiday here in the States edition, where everyone's still recovering. They're full of turkey. They've shoved their microwaves full of turkey and oatmeal golems.
Turkey's giving. Yay.
Turkey's giving you something, man.
Turkey going to give it to you.
Unfortunately, was it last month that we had the Canadian Thanksgiving?
Yes.
All right.
It's in October.
October Canada. Thanksgiving, Jordan, and in Britannia.
They're not thankful for anything. Nothing. They just take.
No, they don't celebrate the day that they killed the locals. No.
The British don't say thanks for anything, do they? They just kind of
say cheers.
Assume. Yeah.
Together with you, Chatroom Dynamic, watching us live, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. What's up? What's new? So, I tried to avoid the holiday thing. Because I don't want to stand around and watch other people eat turkey and shit like that. And I've never had that. I didn't grow up with it. I'm like, okay, I'm fine. Managed to do good until 11:45 that morning. And I get the call. You want to come over? I'm like, nope. Doing some stuff, playing some games. Like, maybe I'll come hang out for a minute. All right, we go do that. And I'm hanging. My buddy John, he's not a drumming professor, but I know him because he hangs out with hippies, but he's a UGA professor that teaches music. He's got family, got some friends over, playing games. Wife's like, yo, I'm going to be cooking. I'm like, cool. Like, we're missing some ingredients. I'm like, you're fucked. So we start searching around and we're like, is anything open? And it's like side dish type stuff, man. It wasn't no big deal. And we found the local store here, Bell's, was open. Me and John's like, all right, we're going to pop over there real quick. Because they're like open for Thanksgiving. Short drive, we get in, we grab a cart. As soon as you pull the cart out, click, store will be closing in 5 minutes.
Speed shopping.
We did it, man. We did it. I got potatoes, I got ranch dressing, I got sausage, he got like drinks. We split up immediately and like ran. Then we both got angry because we're in a line for another 5 minutes after that.
Of course. Hurry up and wait.
It was a little bit nuts. But then I got home and me and Jordan, we played Diablo 1.
Mm-hmm.
Old school Diablo. Relatively painless experience.
Yes.
Like multiplayer too. We're like, okay, we click that on. And 45 minutes into the stream, we discovered the Z key.
The zoom button. Yeah, because, you know, it turns out, you know, it helps to like, even though the screen is displaying at like 1080p or whatever, it's a game that was designed for like 640 by 480 maximum. Mm-hmm. So things are a little hard to see going on. Zooming in helps. A little zooming in.
Everything was like super small. Like, dude, I'm not even joking. Like, I was having trouble getting through doors because I'm playing in like a window, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I couldn't tell whether or not a door was open. Then like 45 minutes into that, I'm like, oh, I think Katana like typed that. Or, you know, you felt it.
I was looking for hotkeys and I'm like, oh, that I found the zoom button.
Yeah. It was a smooth experience though. Like networking wise, we didn't have too much of a problem. Like,
yeah. I don't think controller works out of the box. Yeah. It has some weird key bindings, but like I think they're the PlayStation bindings. That would make sense if they're the PSX bindings.
Oh.
For like just inherit the Diablo 3 console.
No, for Diablo 1. Diablo 1 had a release on PSX.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Way back when, back in the day. StarCraft had a release on the N64, which is the more puzzling one, honestly.
I kind of want to watch somebody play that now.
I'm sure there's an SDD GDQ speedrun of that.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Yeah. Blindfolded upside down in a water tank.
Yeah. With limited oxygen supply.
I'll be shot at.
Beat the game or you die, bitch.
How about you, Jordan Swang? Anything new and interesting going on?
Nothing super new and interesting. It's been pretty dull. I got some stuff on the Steam sale, because now I'm like, now that I have a capable GPU, I'm like, what are the DX12 games that I've been purposefully avoiding?
Yeah.
And yeah, so I grabbed a couple of those.
What about the Black Friday thing? Did you
I got a bunch of house shit for Black Friday.
Oh, look at you being all adult.
I got what did I get? I got like a coffee grinder.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I opened up like the studio wish list and I looked at it and like the headphone thing that's been on sale, like, get fucked. And I continued on about my day. That was it.
Oh, I did get one of those cheapo Steam deck stands on Amazon.
Okay.
I found out why it was so cheap. It was because the USB hub is only two USB 2.0 ports, but it's like, well, whatever, honestly. Like, what am I plugging into the Steam Deck that requires USB 3.0 aside from the charger? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Pedro Mateus, you got a new headset. You're very happy about it. You're excited about it. You wanted to show everybody and be like, oh man, this thing's the coolest thing ever. It's probably like been thieved off somebody because it didn't come with a receiver, but I got it really cheap.
Yeah, they're supposed to come with a little wireless 2.4 gigahertz receiver, but this one didn't have it. But it was also like 10% of the price that they cost brand new, at least the current day models. This one's like the model from 3 years ago, I think. But it does some clever things. It's the Polyfocus UC, or Plantronics Focus UC, as it used to be called. It does the automatic switching between the low bitrate audio when it detects that anything is connected to the microphone. Like, if you so much as open PAVU control, and you have like Katya or QPW graph open and it creates the connection to the microphone, it immediately drops you to a low bit rate. Was like, oh, look at that. Real clever. But interesting thing this week is I got my first motoring fine.
All right. You speed
Were you
demon.
Speeding?
No, I drove in the bus lane.
That's even worse.
I had no idea that was a bus lane. It was nighttime. I've never been to that part of Cambridge before.
That's good. It's for buses only.
I mean, clearly. Did he say anything about all of the lockpicks in the passenger seat?
No. It was an automated thing because they have the camera set up. Like, when I drove past I had no idea that was a bus lane.
You just got that in the mail, buddy.
Well, yeah. I got that in the mail, and they sent me to a website that has a little video, and you could see my car driving into the thing with the sign to say bus lane. Like, oops. Yeah, no, oops. I'll pay the £35. That's fine.
Well, I just like this idea of Pedro keeping his lockpicks in the passenger seat so he can drive in the HOV lane. It's like, yeah, it's carpooling. This is my buddy Lockpickio. Where I'm driving him to work.
Oh man, little Bobby drop tables.
That my first ever motoring fine. driving in the bus line.
Our little Pedro has become a man. Just like the horse.
Well, you know what? I'm just glad you didn't find out about it because there's a couple of spots, I don't know, out in Cambridge at this point, but where they have the risers.
If it had ball urns. Yes.
Well, these things disappear when the bus is near, and like you can find videos online. As soon as the bus goes over, they go whoop, and they come right back up. Now, like, that'll remind you real quick you're in a bus lane when your car's right.
Yeah, no, that one didn't have that. And
when your car gets flipped.
That's a residential area, and people with permits can drive in the bus lane there as long as they have the permit because they're residents.
But as long as you're legally a bus.
I did not, and yeah, no, that was on me. Absolutely, I'll pay the £35. That's fine.
But yes, I don't think the horse is ever going to qualify for a bus pass or get on a bus.
I don't think the horse is going to qualify for his bar mitzvah. It's the update.
Sale. I wonder how many millions of views that has on it, and how mad that person is because they couldn't monetize it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, that'd make me so mad.
You make it for the art, right?
Yeah, until it starts getting a million views. And you're like, man. Steam Autumn Sale 2023, it is live. Big seasonal blowout is upon us, and that's bullshit because it's another Steam sale. Anything to get excited about? I don't know, man, because I went through my wish zone. Like, I'm sure a lot of you did. You know, you get your little wish list of games, or maybe you have an extensive wish list of games. Maybe you found something. I didn't. The best I saw was for, you guessed it, if you follow me, 70% off It Takes Two, which is always $15. And I did see Gotham Knights was $11. And I'm not necessarily interested in that, but I thought about adding it just to my abandoned superhero game collection. Which
abandoned DC superhero game collection. I have
a Marvel one stacking up. Yeah, I do.
Ooh, okay, never mind
that. I got that for $1.99. Like the ultimate edition.
Does it come with the Verizon skin for Spider-Man?
I don't know, man. Did you guys see anything?
Yeah, I grabbed Control Complete because I had the free version from Epic Game Store, and this one had all the DLC, and it was like $13, so I'm screwed. Okay. I grabbed Tiny Tina's Wonderland. that was $20, and I guess I'm tired of waiting for it. And I grabbed Call of Cthulhu because that was $6, and I saw a playthrough of it, and I thought that was a really cool like single player like horror shooter game. Okay. I wanted to check it out.
Yeah, no, I from my wish list, this is a pretty boring sale. There was one game in my wish list that was 75% off, Weird West.
Although Hidden Harbor 3D top down? Hidden Harbor 3D top down.
That's what we're looking at right now. Weird West, it's also a top down game, it's like isometric in perspective.
Yes, you're missing out on Monkey versus Dino currently 99% off, and it's $14.66.
If you're watching the audio version, you are missing out on a man beating up a Deinonychus with a ball.
Yes.
I'll probably still buy Weird West, though, because 75% off is a good enough price. It's like £8, so I might actually pick it up.
Mm. The worst part about Monkey versus Dino is that it isn't multiplayer.
Even at that price, I think we would have to at least get two copies of it so we could try it.
Right. Yeah, gotta try the network multiplayer.
Another thing that's going on, if you've been keeping track, is the Steam Awards. Yes. A couple of categories. 11 categories. Game of the Year, VR Game of the Year Award, Labor of Love, Best Game on Steam Deck Award, Better with Friends, Outstanding Visual Art, Most Innovative, Best Game You Suck At Award. All right. Which one do we want to pick? We'll pick one and vote.
Do you want to go for the big controversial one, the Game of the Year one?
Ooh, okay, let's go find out.
Gollum.
Let's get my nominats in here. Trackmania.
Ascreed Valhalla. Hey, Candria.
That came out this year?
That's the recommendations of based on games you've played. Then the middle one is the one that the developers make their case. And then there's the suggestions from people at the bottom.
How can we nominate a game from 2022, though?
I think you can. Trackmania.
Well, Valhalla 2023, but Valhalla's 2022 is what I'm saying.
I think it came out on Steam 2023, though, right? Because it was Uplay only for a while.
Those are just the games you played. If you click the arrow to go on, you'll probably find even older games.
Game of the Year. So Game of the Year doesn't matter what year it was released.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I can start. Darkest Dungeon 2 came out this. All right, I guess I got released on Steam.
Baldur's Gate.
Yes,
we're gonna skip that category because I don't like any of these. Labor of Love.
Just don't vote up for Baldur's Gate, no matter what you do. Doesn't matter if it's the most deserving one.
Games we suck at. Remnant.
Street Fighter. There's a fair case to be made for SF6.
Dwarf Fortress.
Dwarf Fortress is a strong contender, yes.
Yeah. Anonymous Hacker Simulator.
Mortal Kombat 1. Bunch of fighter games. Amnesia the Vanguard. All right.
Vacuum Warrior sucks from what I hear.
Blasphemous. Eliza P. All right.
Liza P. Okay, yeah, those are strong contenders. Yes.
What's Oxalta? Oh, it's the
it's Hotline Miami, yeah, but right. In monochrome.
That game, Remnant 2. Armored Core. Remember that game that came out?
Yes, the Not Souls and then, From Software game. Yes.
Well, that was the thing. Like, it came out, and then 2 weeks later, Starfield came out, and everyone's like, oh, well, you know, we're getting on this other sci-fi game.
Then everybody played Starfield, and they're like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, about that.
This is a bit shit.
Yep. A little bit.
But, hey.
It's game of the year.
Game of the year, man. I don't know, man. Baldur's Gate 3 is probably going to win it. We were talking about in our pre super shows, and go back and listen to that if you're a patron, about what checks are going to get cashed at the Game Awards this year. And then we're going to see what Nintendo title, and if they dare try to bring out Starfield as Game of the Year material type thing. You're like,
I wonder. It's like, no, we've kidnapped Hideo Kojima. If you don't give the awards our way, we'll kill him.
Right.
Oh, it's like the best Xbox exclusive of the year, probably.
Mm. Oh, jeez. So, if you want to play with your Redfall Xbox controller, you can take use of this next update.
Well, you can. Yeah. You can do it with Xbox and PlayStation. Mostly just PlayStation. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but it's live now. DualShock and DualSense compatibility. These controllers right here. They have a lot of features that stuff like these controllers right here don't. Some folks make games that take advantage of them, especially if they're PlayStation ports. So now, via Steam input, there is a way exposed to tell you whether or not a game is going to have good DualSense or DualShock support, so that it'll vibrate, or you'll get like the color changing, or the haptics, or the dynamic pressure trigger sensors, or whatever. But then, like, it's a good thing, because these are very expensive controllers, and you would want to make sure that they work with the games that you're trying to play. What I want to know is who's going to be the fucking...
Dude, why does Valve care about controllers on PC? I agree. You've made your choice, you PC heathen. You should have to play with a keyboard and mouse.
You gotta play with, I don't know, like the old Microsoft Sidewinder joysticks.
To be fair, you're for the like the Steam, what are they called? The Steam Record or the Steam whatever for year 2022. 90% of my time playing games on PC was with a keyboard and mouse. So. Yeah.
But so we were talking about the PlayStation Portal. I wonder, are we going to get support for that ever in Steam input? Will that work with like Chiaki or something?
I don't know. You see the me diagram of somebody who would buy one of those damn things versus somebody with a gaming PC.
And like you could just get a Steam Deck too, which will literally do the same thing and play games without a network connection. But like I don't know.
Like, it's neat. I mean, I noticed it because it's like a little pop-up. It was in the Steam betas. It like popped up a little screen. I'm like, that is irritating. Go away.
Yeah, it only shows up the first time that you start the game. It's like, okay, this game doesn't natively support your DualShock or your DualSense. But it's very good to see. And like Jordan already mentioned, there's but a couple
Pedro,
of
that
things.
That window needs an if statement with hours played. Like if 100 plus hours played, probably fucking knows.
But yeah, no, for like new games coming out that have the haptic, like the feedback on the triggers that the DualSense supports, or like the fancy light stuff that it can do, or even the, because it has like a speaker in the controller. So if it can use that, if it can make use of all
computer.
Of that, then absolutely.
Hello,
and
computer.
If you plug it in, I don't think it shows up over Bluetooth, but if you plug it in and then you have a look at Pavu Control, you can see the controller there. That's an audio device.
Treats it as one.
For sure. Now I want the haunted controller. I want a poltergeist. Like, I want this thing chasing me around the house screaming at me.
There were a couple PS4 games that took advantage of that. That was pretty neat. Spider-Man actually did that.
Famously, the PT demo.
Yes, as well. Yeah.
Read like scream at it or something.
Yeah, I remember Flibbit saying that he got the like the light bars for the Dual Shock, got that to sync up with the color of your character in Towerfall. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's like really small but really neat stuff that is specific to the Dual Shocks and the Dual Senses. But it'd be nice to have.
It's nice to have that support. Like, yeah. And again, I really want to see if someone can get this shit working with the Portal. Cause like I wonder if you could do some like weird like asymmetrical gameplay with that. I want to see like split screen Dead by Daylight.
Somebody just buy this boy a Wii U controller.
Yeah,
sure.
There's probably better support for the Wii U controller for that.
Oh, absolutely yes. That shit's been out for way too long for it to not be supported under Linux.
Like I would be shocked if I paired that and it immediately pop up with like bindings and like
No, Noma's just like you've connected
there's a new display.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, would you like to add this as a new display? Right. hey, if you're not happy with regular ordinary Proton, this is kind of built in to Steam. You can get the extra fancy stuff, you know, with the lacquered hairdo and the sparkly cowboy boots and the spoiler on the back, and it drives in two bus lanes.
And, someone needs to buy Eggy some sparkly cowboy boots.
I know he's got a banana suit. He's done the banana peanut butter jelly time song. There's a video of that going around. The Proton GE version 8.24 has been released. They've basically, there's the Proton fix and a bunch of upstream Proton fixes like the NV API updates, and the support for codecs has been brought to Proton GE. That's available. This is also the, if you use Lutris for any reason, can't figure out why you'd want to, but the default version of Wine for Lutris is very similar to Proton GE. So a lot of these changes are also present in the Lutris version, and I know that because I've been trying a bunch of old games, and D8VK is now a thing. It is absolutely one of the biggest introductions to Proton. So very good job on that one, Aggie. The they also enabled Indio Video 5. If you have any games that use the Indio Video codec, you might remember that from back in the day. Those, a lot of those already work just thanks to that. And what was the other thing? Oh, right. Yeah, the previous version, you still had to use WineTrix to do it, but now it's just there. So yeah, go play with it. If you have any old DirectX 8 games, try it out. They might D8 just work VK. Properly. Now.
That's what you and Strider were talking to each other about in Discord earlier this week, right?
Yeah, that was about Big Mother Truckers.
Big Mother Truckers.
Yeah, I remember. Mother. I vaguely remember that game.
That's all I remember. Like, what are you playing, man? But yeah, DX8 had a run, kids, man. I mean, it did. Still games in 2022 with the releases going all the way back to 1991. We pulled that up on the PC Gaming Wiki.
Yeah, then, someone did a DX8 port for Another World.
But Chicken Invaders 5 and other classics like
Hyper Princess Pitch.
100% orange juice. And
oh, Inquisitor. I have that game. I didn't know that had a DirectX 8 renderer.
Dude, there's so many of these, like mini golf dream courses. And
It's basically like, was it on Xbox? It's probably DX8.
Yeah.
Hey, Fear Perseus Mandate.
Dude, Nitro Stunt Racing, all the things. And this is disabled by default. You got to cut it on. But you don't have to worry about it because we talked about it back in May. It went 1.0, so it should basically work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. What is the advantage of having like D9VK, D8VK, Jordan? Is it just going to make things faster? Where I don't have to use the OpenGL or something?
I think the main thing is just having it all natively implemented in Vulkan. Not having to like deal with translation subsystems and just having the library lie to the application, say, oh, absolutely, this is DirectX8.dll. Don't question anything. We're returning the exact numbers and arrays and shit that you're expecting. So it probably makes it a lot easier to fix bugs with specific games as well, because D9VK, VK, D3D, they're all on separate release cadences from Wine proper. Mm-hmm. So if they identify issues, they can fix them before Wine needs to get around to doing it, which allows Wine to focus more on the actual system compatibility stuff, which I think is arguably more important now that we have the graphics stuff kind of.
It's probably like a good thing for like your Steam Deck, right? Like your classic game library. Yes. Like,
if you want to play Morrowind without OpenMW on your Steam Deck.
Mm. True retro. Something that you couldn't play in your Steam Deck recently, kids. This week, in fact, Hunt Showdown. This is a post I saw on Linux_gaming over on the Reddit. It was fun while it lasted, from Les Butterscotch 937. And yeah, apparently they did the update to the EAC and whatever they were using, and it just no longer worked. Like, womp, womp. You want to try it? And they wrote back, because apparently this person like sent a message, like, hey, by the way, this game that I bought that it's playing on my Steam Deck. And by the way, you know, not just like out of nowhere, because this game was listed as playable on the Steam store by Valve. But they wrote back, the developers of Hunt Showdown, they took a break from making skins and DLC that you should be buying. And they said, we investigated the matter further. And the Steam store page was not added by us, but by Steam testers. It's just added by Valve, which means our team doesn't officially support Steam Deck and Linux. That said, we'll try to have it fixed. Now, the happy ending of this, oh, and by the way, they're like, we can't guarantee that this is ever going to get fixed. Not our problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the happy ending is, yeah, it did get, but by the way, he runs Arch, Bloody Burger does. It's working again. FR question mark. No way. As the kids might say. And that's pretty good. That's good. But that's something you really need to be aware of. Like getting that playable thing. That's completely automatic. There's no interaction between the developer and Valve saying, yeah, you can play this on the deck. And if we click on this game and we take a look at it, and all this week, this never changed. This never changed. Ratings never changed. We don't get, hey, here comes some pictures. I was like, did they just pull the game or something? If we scroll down, we get playable, right?
Yeah.
We click on that. What do we get? A little bit of a warning. You know, entering some text requires manually invoking the on-screen keyboard. Fair enough. Some in-game, you know, just that generic thing. But all functionality is accessible. The game shows Steam Deck controller icons. The default graphic configuration performs well on the Steam Deck. This was just like this all week long, even when it's like, you just can't get online and play anything.
Well, to your point, even if it's like verified, that doesn't even mean that the developer did anything to do that, right? All it means is that it passes all those checkboxes. So you can theoretically have Steam Deck verified games that the developers are like, no, we don't support this at all.
I do know you have to apply to get your game Steam Deck verified.
Weren't they like doing, they had an automation
you
process
have to
that was
submit.
Because
I've seen enough developers like, we've just submitted our game for a verification and we're waiting on Valve to get back to us.
So it's possible that one of the devs are like, yeah, we'll just submit this. It's a new tech box or whatever. But I guess that's like that's one of the unavoidable consequences of Proton being a part of Steam now, is that support onus is now on Valve itself. Mm-hmm. So a lot, you will run into these situations quite often where you'll be like, hey, this game was working and now it's not. Developer, aren't you going to do anything about it? It's like, we never said you could play.
The fuck you
deck.
Talking about? Get out of here with your nerd ass Game Boy. No. We don't support
Although,
that.
And to and be like, fair, in those respects, Valve has actually been pretty good, because we've had a couple of games that pulled their versions from Steam, Rocket League, and Valve went, okay, we don't care how many hours you have in it. We don't care how long you've owned a game. You can have a refund.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
And sometimes you get like a Bungie who will just flat out tell you, no, don't fucking do this. We'll ban your ass.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get this. Sometimes
I mean, that's still causing the developers to have to be proactive, you know, because yes. Like, let's face it, like, Steam's mission is to sell you games because money. Like,
yes.
But I do believe that that playable notification could actually do with just a little more booga booga in it for. And the reason it's not for us, it's not for you listening to the show, you know this. You're like, yeah, all right, you know, buyer beware, we got to watch out because, you know, Proton's not perfect. But as the Steam Deck becomes more and more mainstream, these are people who just bought a gaming console, man. Mm-hmm. They don't have PC. They're like, no, I want to try this PC gaming thing out on the Steam Deck. I just buy that and play the games. Oh, it says it's playable. What it should say, blinking text, is, this game could suddenly stop working at any time on your device because of reasons, and there's fuck all you can do about it. Don't PS, don't bug the developer.
That scares sales away.
I know, but what I just said was like, Ben, that sounds awfully harsh and mean, but it's 100% accurate. That is your reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about long term. Yeah. I mean, it does damage when, you know, your filthy casual shows up and just wants the handheld gaming experience. Like, I just spent $40 on this game yesterday. Why doesn't it work today?
I wonder how much of that could also be addressed by just having like a separate system requirements for Steam Deck, and just be like, if it's not explicitly listed, don't even.
Yeah. Having that listed would constitute a fairly explicit show of support.
Here's a question. I don't have a Steam Deck. Both of you do. By default, does it show non-verified games?
Yes.
Yes, but it will put verified games higher up on the list.
Will very much steer you. It's like, look for this, like the verified and the playable, and you can filter the store by just great games on the deck.
Yeah, the default page is great on deck, and that is all exclusively verified. So,
I mean, we'd all just like gamble with it. Hey, we can probably find a way to make it work.
And even then, like, oh, wait it out. Like, again, like Eggie's putting out releases pretty frequently. Like, probably by the time we're done this podcast, there will be a new Proton GE out, as is tradition, that will fix a whole plethora of new issues that have come up. So, like, yeah, you never know.
But then again, to the type of person that would install a Proton GE on their Steam Deck.
Yes.
Like, casuals never going to go into Linux. They're never going to drop out of the shell. They're like, yeah, yeah. Click game, play game. Play game, no work. What the hell?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Agreed. For sure.
I don't know. Valve, just think about it. Think about it. Bring back the blink tag. You can do it.
Bring back marquee tags. I need scrolling HTML text that 6. I need to wait.
Right. Oh, Pedro, I thought this game was dead.
So did I. But I saw the notification show up on my Steam client at the top where the news in the library where they show up now. Like, oh, Pocket Cars. Yes, indeed. I like Pocket Cars, so let's have a look. They have version 0.86.0. It's out. You can play it. It's still in early access. Of course it is. There's new weapons. They have like 4 new weapons. You have a new car, which they say they're going to be doing a total of 4 new cars. It's a big monster truck school bus looking thing.
School bus.
Dude, somebody spent literal minutes modeling that.
That looks like something Otto from The Simpsons made, literally.
That just looks like they took the two rear axle were just copied one from the other. But it is, yeah, no, they have a few more things, and I genuinely like Pocket Cars. That's because fun. How the physics work, and it's a radio control racing game. So the way the physics work and the power ups work and everything, it's really fun. It's really well done. It needs a bit more, because even if you look at, say, Revolt from 1999 or 2000, whenever that game came out, it has so much more stuff. There's a lot more content in that, and this just needs a bit more. So I'm very much looking forward to what they're doing, and I hope that they stick with it. It might take a while, but it is a fun game. And like, the physics and the racing and the speed, that's all in place. It just needs more stuff now.
I got to think when I think about this game, we played it. We did a stream where me and you played around in it, and like, it was very limited. Like, multiplayer did work, and it's got a Linux version, all that together. But this is their first update in 8 months. There are games that have went into early access and shipped that are RC racing games since this game got an update. Like, you can't maintain momentum in a community, things you need for an online multi. Nobody's playing the game, despite it being a fun game. And I'm sure everybody has at least one of these types of games in your library. Like, there's nothing technically wrong with the game. It's fun. It's enjoyable to play. Nobody plays it. I like these updates. This is a great update. Hey, you got a school bus in there. But instead of doing the big chonky updates, man, just like, think about it, especially if you're developing a game, working on a game. Communications is key. Radio silence for 8 months, then an update out of nowhere. That's not good for sales. That's not good for your community. Jordan, why am I wrong?
Because your head is shoved all the way up your butt to the point where it looks normal.
Got it.
It's right. And that's the sad reality about a lot of these multiplayer games, is that like, you can have a very solid game, but like, it's like being a politician. Half of your job is just is campaigning to get elected for the next time around, and the other half is actually like working on your stuff.
I guess I don't need the shovel then. All right.
Yeah. you got to spend time and effort cultivating that community, and without it, it's not.
Unless this is just your hobby project, then fuck us.
At which point, like, why the fuck do you care what we have to say, right? Like,
yeah. You have an awesome hobby project that I'm in.
Good job on the hobby project.
Yeah. Somebody picked up the banana phone, Pedro.
Oh yes, yes they did. It is. It's the news. Just in case you're wondering why we're not talking about video games specifically.
We got to talk about NVIDIA drivers.
Yeah. It's NVK. We've been talking about it ever since it was first announced. Collabora have been doing a lot with it over the past couple of months. And they're compliant with Vulkan 1.0, but they're compliant. They, as of today, or the time of, which was November 20th, they are Vulkan 1.0 compliant, and they're still legally not allowed to say that as far as the Mesa project is concerned. That's why the driver is still in an experimental state, but that will be basically hammered out as they get more and more extensions working. And yes, it is just Vulkan 1.0, which came out a few years ago, so a lot of like DXVK2 and a few other, like VKD3D, the new VKD3D might not work entirely well, but I very much look forward to this getting to the point that it provides a valid alternative to the proprietary drivers.
Big thank you to Mark over at Collabora, sent an email like, psst, you know, talk about the thing. Like, we're the type of show that's like, yeah, we're talking about this. This is cool as fuck.
Yes.
Vulkan 1.0, yeah, that is your most basic bitch first 1.0, as it says on the tin, right? You're like, wait a minute, is this, no, it's 1.0. Where are we at right now, you're asking? 1.3. So we still got some waiting to do, but, you know, if you have an app that is 1.0 compliant and naturally older, this should, in theory, not only be able to run it, to be performant using Nuvo, not two things that normally would dwell, Nuvo and performance. So kind of interesting to see. But where's my mantle support?
It's coming. Don't worry. Well, yeah, we're not anywhere near a point where we can get like a serious answer about like what's the performance look like compared to the NVIDIA driver.
Technically works.
To Pedro's point about how they're like we can't call it Vulkan 1.0 because Cronus hasn't certified it. It's, the blog post also says, although people who are reading this blog post probably don't care and want to try it out anyways. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing stopping you from actually using the code. But it's going to be a crazy moon future where we have stable and working open source NVIDIA graphics from the bottom up, because we have like the open source, like NVIDIA kernel module, got MVK now, Nuvo's getting the new backend compiler. It's bizarre.
What are the kids that are new to Linux going to use as their excuse because they bought an AMD card when they were using Windows and they want to like dunk on something?
I think they're just going to move to Intel cards.
But those kind of worked on Linux when they were.
I mean,
right, but that's not going to stop them from coming up with an excuse, right? When has FUD ever been accurate?
NVIDIA cards don't work on the desktop, Jordan. Don't you know? Have you not been using Linux for the last 25 years?
No.
When ATI couldn't figure out what a Linux was, it didn't know which end of the penguin to start.
Yeah, FGLRS. Yeah. Those were the dark days. But no, they do say that it will only be available for Turing to start with. There are some people working on the Maxwell and Pascal, because Maxwell and Pascal are very, very similar.
Pascal's the one I'm really looking forward to. Like having the 1080 Ti just being completely open source.
Was I a good GPU?
Yes, you were. Very good.
Very much so. NVIDIA will never make that mistake again.
NVIDIA overbuilt that fucker to compete with something that AMD never released. So,
Jordan, I think NVIDIA learned their lesson.
Yes, they did. Hey, yes. you are you sure you don't want 8 gigs of VRAM? You sure? You don't want to pay another $1,000 for that 64?
Watch us. Oh, hang on. Do you want the card lower than that with 16 gigs on it?
It's not for mining. What are you talking about?
Oh.
Low hash rate, you guys?
Yeah.
Dude. LHR.
Darkest timeline.
Well, you know, NVIDIA isn't the only people getting cool shit on the graphics side on Linux. VKD3D 2.11 is out, and it has a bunch of DXR fixes. It's now enabled for default, except in the case of Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, which specifically has an override in the game to just turn it on anyway. So they're just like, we're not going to double DXR. That doesn't make any sense. don't do it for Hellblade. Do it for everyone else. DX12 Ultimate is now also fully exposed on Turing and RDNA 2+. This is so cool. Now I get to look at these stories and be like, oh, hey, I got a cool new Dota to play with. Suck it, my old 1080 Ti. I was talking about how great a card you were.
Triangle
piece
fan.
Of shit.
Triangle fan.
It's supported. Yeah, there's a bunch of ray tracing fixes as well for Cyberpunk 2077, which should stop the GPU hangs. So I gotta try that out because I was getting a bunch of those when I was playing around with the RT in Cyberpunk.
What type of victory laps are you doing if you're like 1-2% in Starfield in some test locations?
To be fair, considering how shit. Yeah.
Considering how shit the performance was in Starfield? Yeah, that's probably good.
you want to squeeze it out where you can, right? Like, those percentage points will add up over time.
I very much look forward to, by the time I get around to Starfield and Lords of the Fallen, because that's one that also got a bunch of performance fixes with VK3D, by the time I get to those games, they'll be playable, thoroughly playable, so I very much look forward
to it.
Wait,
hold on. Steam Deck playable or playable?
Yes.
As we've determined, playable has a very broad definition.
So unlike D9V11K, VKD3Ds for DX12 titles, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. This is actually originally from Wine proper. VKD3D was developed by Wine for Wine.
This is the Proton specific.
Yeah, this is the branch that was ported to work with Proton specifically, which can have certain things that don't necessarily need to comply with how Wine builds things, which is why DXVK is still not a part of Wine.
Pedro, you didn't get the memo. The Wine project is doing their own thing.
Yes. Still waiting on that one.
I mean... So's OBS for their green screen re-implementation, but I don't want to split hairs.
It's a lot like DX11 support was the big thing that was missing from Wine. And I remember when DXVK first came out, and Deutschian made like the things like, yeah, this works. And he tried to get it supported officially by Wine, and Wine said, no, we're doing our own implementation.
How much of that do you think was like engineering versus like who's this motherfucker just coming out of nowhere and like making the thing that we couldn't get to work for the past decade?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other sort of fringe benefit of having D9VK DXVK separate is that, you know, it's portable. Like ReactOS is using it, Windows users are using it to get like Vulkan DX12 support on like
the Intel proprietary drivers on Windows are using DXVK for DX11 support.
I would like to live in a world where like this was just built into Wine. You didn't have to worry about it. Like you just apt install Wine. Mm.
That would be perfect.
Hell, even Fedora is just like shipping DXVK as part of the default Wine install. They're like, I remember seeing that discussion on the forum. It's like, well, why not? And no one could come up with a good reason as to why not. And so they did it.
You don't want to... this version of Wine is tainted.
Yeah. Yes.
It loads NVIDIA-specific calls. It's tainted.
Yes. Whoa, tainted bugs.
Oh, no. Couple of things to talk about this week. Up to and including a little bit of news. Because say what you want about Epic versus Google, but this trial has been... just releasing some very fascinating information up to and including the Spotify deal. Did you guys see that?
No.
Oh, okay. Here's the deal that they cut Spotify on the Google Play Store. All right, Spotify, how much are we going to charge you? And Spotify's like, I don't know, nothing. And Google's like, cool. But like, doesn't that go against like your terms that you have listed for Friday Works in the store? And you're like, what? Nobody's ever going to find out.
back channel scuttlebutt deals. Yeah, no, Orville Redenbacher stocks are going through the roof as a result of this fucking court case.
There's been some weird fascinating things to come out of that, and this is no exception. Google apparently discussed teaming up with Tencent to buy Epic back in 2018, to which I have to go, because can you imagine how that would have went down? 2018, everybody's chilling out. The world's a slightly less worse place than it is today.
Google, the world hadn't ended yet.
Not yet, man. And Google's like, yo, man, let's get Epic. And they're like, we might need some help with that. All right, Tencent. All right, let's do this. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to buy Epic. Then we're going to launch Stadia. And we're going to kill both of them. That'd be awesome. And everybody's like, woo, we're Google. We love killing shit. That'd be awesome. Why did they really want that pick? Well, you don't have to really read between the lines here. They just came out and said it. It was like, we just wanted to get that Fortnite money to like launch Stadia, and it'll be good for the Play Store, you know, because it's the money printer. Still yeah, is, even all these years later. Like, why would you buy it? Well, yeah, that.
Well, and like, it's kind of like, if they had actually combined, it would have addressed the chief. It would have addressed the chief complaint of both of them. Could you imagine buy your games on Epic Game Store, play them anywhere on Stadia. Mm-hmm, you get them mm-hmm. to keep. You can bring your saves everywhere. You can get free games that you can stream everywhere through Stadia. Like that addresses the value add proposition of both Stadia and the Epic Game Store in one fell swoop. If they had done that, that would have been it.
I mean, think about it, man. Instead of the Steam Deck, you could have had the G Boy.
Yeah, it would be the Nexus G, and they'd the kill type it after E. A year. Yeah,
just to fuck with Jag.
Yeah. Also, you know, maybe Bandcamp wouldn't be in such a shitty situation right now.
I don't know.
Or it would be in an even worse situation, just shut down entirely.
Right at the bottom of the article, they said like another thing that came out, like Google has a 70% operating profit margin on the Play Store.
Mm.
So you can kind of see we're old sweetie. Tim Sweeney's coming in. I was like, come on, man. Why are you hitting us for like 30%? And they're like, because you ain't Spotify. Get out of here, nerd.
So the other thing apparently Googs was floating was just straight up buying 20% of Epic outright. Just be like.
Now, fortunately, they hit back. Like, somebody was like, why would we do that again? They're like, I don't know. just to fuck with people? I don't know.
Have some controlling shares.
No. You gotta think about it though. Like, there was. This is just. It is very fascinating if you're just tuning into like, hey, gaming's a thing. Like, Stadia was. Had enough push behind it to where you're like, oh, they're serious about it. Like, even we were like, oh, okay, they're serious about this. All right, they're throwing like big money at the. Okay, all the ads, and we're putting out the controllers and. People bought into it, man. A couple of people did. Couldn't kill it. Too big to die. I'm like, okay, fine. But it's Google. They killed it.
It's executive infighting. This was someone's baby, and mm-hmm. they got ousted, and then everyone's like, well, we don't need this shit anymore. Get rid of it.
There's a reason Kylo Ren destroyed his helmet in the first scene of the next movie. All about directors, baby.
Put that goddamn helmet back on, Kylo.
What are you talking about, Pedro Mateus? Pedro Renteus?
Pedro Renteus.
Oh, come on. I mean, compared to...
Adam Driver is way hotter than you, but, like, marginally.
Yeah.
Like, just from, like, the body hotter, perspective.
And my nose looks proportional by comparison, so... And I have big schnoz, so, you know...
Can we petition Adam Driver to play Pinocchio in the new live action Pinocchio?
No, he's playing the character in Liza P, the movie.
Mm-hmm. I would watch that, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like an old Pinocchio. Yeah, absolutely.
War Pinocchio.
The Warnocchio.
Warnocchio. All right.
At least it's not Pornocchio.
It probably is.
Jordan, sure, that exists.
Yeah, internet. Before we get. A little bit of hate mail. Another thing that happened this week that I wanted to talk about, just because it affects all of us, and it will, or it has, or however you want to spin it.
Probably will, yes.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Earlier this week, Ubisoft had a little oopsie-doodle, maybe, allegedly, ? With Assassin's Creed and their in-game Black Friday pop-up ad. Technical error. Yes, a sales banner appeared when loading a map. I think we have video evidence of this, maybe? Can I click on that?
Let's check the playback, John.
Oh, no. Okay, I can actually... Good. Eurogamer. Dynafire.
This is like download.com, which is the real download link.
Right? Uh-oh. Boop. Okay, so Ho was playing the game, and he wanted to go to the world map. Hit start. Go to the world map. What do we get? Let's see. Let's replay the video again. Ruling on the field... And boop, a 20% off Assassin's Creed Mirage, taking up all
Black
the
Friday
screen.
Sale.
Take advantage. Now, You know what? I don't know where I want to fall in. Like, if you dare to pause your game to check a world map, you know, oh, Ubisoft's like, well, guess what, buddy? That's an advertising. And according to Ubi, this was a technical glitch. Hear them out.
You weren't supposed to see it now.
Hear them out, though. Like, if you're familiar with Ubisoft games, which Ubisoft games are the most part, might work on your Steam Deck and on Linux. But if you played an Assassin's Creed game, you know that entire UI, like, and it got comically bad with Odyssey. Like, just like, are you, is this a joke? With DLC and buying like Odyssey box. I mean, it was fucking shameless. Still is. Like, if I showed this to somebody as a mock-up and they didn't know, they're like, okay, that's a funny joke. I'm like, that's not a joke. That's how the UI, like, as soon as you go into inventory, like, there's an, it's hammered in. The reason I'm bringing this up is even this was a technical glitch. It was due to the fuster cluck of infrastructure that is built into these games for these ads and shit that are cluttering up every other part of the game. Just not in game yet. So what I want to ask you, gentlemen, what are your thoughts on advertising in general, but more importantly, Ubisoft's dumb enough to try this. This could have been the NVIDIA move of like, we need to find where the dumb line is.
That is 100% what it was. It was the test. It's like, okay, how will people react to this?
How many people are going to bitch about
this? Was a technical error, yeah. Right? No, I fully expected EA to do it before Ubisoft. If we're being, you know, for going down the greedy list, Activision, EA, then Ubisoft. But yeah,
they gotta show these ads to people who bought into Quartz.
I mean, if you get one more,
those are your known marks.
Yeah, we have an ad block Voltron.
But like, I don't know, because like a couple months ago we were talking about like the recruitment ads in in American Truck Simulator, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And like that is the same thing ostensibly, right? Like, not it's not like self advertising, but it is intrusive.
Either
right, and so the question is like, are we? And I guess to Vin's point about like the conversation here, like what is the maximum level of intrusivity, and at what point does it start lowering the cost of the game? Like, if I'm buying a game that I know is going to have ads in it, I don't want to pay full price for it.
fuck you, you're paying full price.
Yeah, right. and is this going to be a thing like? To keep like Game Pass at $10, is this going to be, we're going to start seeing more ad subsidies or ad subsidization as a result of this kind of thing?
Well, they're not going to leave money on the table. So even like I played through a lot of Odyssey, and it never, like, outside of them having to re-architect Odyssey because the game was built from the ground up, like, get you to buy shit, and they went back and de-Ubisoft it a little bit, so you just hit like this gulf.
Ubisoft.
Yeah, where it just turns into this unmaintainable grind fest. And I was like, I'm done with this. But even with their stores and like the points, you know, pay to win type shit, it was at least on its own little tab, you know. But let's go back to the old days of when game companies just cluttered their bullshit unnecessary launcher with adverts. I'm looking at you, CD Projekt Red.
Larian's is also pretty bad about that. Buy Divinity, buy our other games.
Right. This is like, is there any technical reason for this launcher? Yeah, to sell more of our shit to you. And we put a play button on there. You click, it was like, but you click play button, but ours works better.
And this is just another example, because Ubisoft was also one of the biggest opponents of basically releasing their games on PC, because all PC gamers were pirates. Mm-hmm. They were, yarr! They actually came out and actually said something along those lines back in the day. So there was, for a bit there, they didn't release a lot of games on PC.
They wouldn't be Pedro if Ubisoft could figure out how to wait to like fucking, you know, answer Black Flag, which they can't.
Yeah. At this point, I'm pretty sure if this is a thing that is pulling down from the server to show you the ad, the pirated version of that particular Assassin's Creed game probably doesn't show you that. So once again, the pirated version is giving you a better experience than if you paid for the actual game.
I mean, outside of this fucking virus, I have, but if this is not like that.
are we going to get ad block for Steam? Are we going to have to, like,
this is
go
going,
and, like...
Jordan.
Yeah, like, when do we have to do, like, host files at, like, the gateway level to block traffic?
No, I'm going to be putting in early access next week, Steam Block Origin.
Stew Block.
To help, cut down the data collection. Like, that's no joke with, like, the default Unity bullshit tracking, same way with Unreal Engine.
Yeah, that's on by default.
How do you think they're going to detect those per-install fees, man?
We gotta keep shareholders safe. I personally don't like it. I've always found it distasteful if my first experience with the game, after I get through your 30 to 45 seconds of unskippable bullshit, escape button, bitch. Like, seriously, don't make me say that is the quickest way to get me not to come back to your game if I got to skip through.
Remember DVDs and the unskippable trailers at the beginning of the... Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dude.
This is why you download movies.
This is why you learned how to rip DVDs.
Yeah, right?
But the first thing I'm greeted after that is like an advert to like buy, like, it's like, hey, I'm looking, give us more. You didn't spend enough money. We'd like some more of your money. Yeah, more money, please. Mm-hmm. And we'll give you the full game. I'm like, full game. I mean, our DLC, I'm sorry.
On disc DLC.
We'll give you the actual ending. Yeah.
the content is there, but you need to provide the correct license to unlock it.
We're at a very fine teetering point right now, especially like you have to be fucking careful with that, because at a point like, which I'm very close to, where I'm just like, fuck this game, I'm going to get a refund. I say that shit because I'll do that shit. And like, you hit me with something egregious enough, I'm like, you know what? Fuck this.
Usually for me, that happens pretty early on, especially if it's a game that requires like any kind of precision with controls. If the game doesn't allow me to rebind controls from WASD to the directional arrows, that's an instant refund. Sorry, I can't play your fucking game. Fuck you. But that's me. I have a bit more of an accessibility requirement in that respect on account of my hands not being symmetrical. You refuse
to play with your toes.
That too. But yeah,
I want to see Pedro's mouth controller. I want to see him use his tongue.
I want to 1v1 some people with some toe fights, man, on like Street Fighter 5.
I want a 1v1 Pedro with my tongue. I mean, what?
Deep loving kisses in the mouth. But yeah, it is that is very much for me. That's a showstopper. If your game doesn't let me play it properly, refund.
Okay,
right then and there.
We got that. So back to the advertising part.
Mm-hmm. I think something like that, like what happened there, like you pause the game to open the map, to go to the inventory, to whatever, and the first thing you see is a full screen pop-up ads like, buy our new game, fuck you.
All right, how about this? All right, we need to dial this back. I'm channeling how this fucking meeting went the day after the internet blew up. Okay, they don't like that. How about, hear me out, if the game's been paused for more than 30 seconds, then we put the ad up.
So well, in the middle of doing something?
No, paused. So you pause.
Like idle.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. You get up, you go do something, then we can put the ad up. So when they come back, they'll have a new experience and a sales opportunity.
Yes. I don't know. I think when it's going to be like the sliding scale of thing, right? Like, we're talking about the Oblivion horse in Discord earlier today. And like, once upon a time, that was egregious, and now this is the standard. So I think it's going to be one of these, like, boil the frog moments.
Remember people losing their goddamn mind about the World of Warcraft mount?
Yeah.
That you had to buy? Mm-hmm. That it was dumb? No one's ever going to spend any money on a in-game item? Like, that was ridiculous. Blizzard.
Remember when the Oblivion horse armor was the single most egregious DLC that ever was?
But like, and this is what I mean. This is the boil the frog moment.
But
we're
going like
to get the bad thing.
Well, I mean,
they're going to walk it back, and then we're just going to slowly get it over the next 10 years.
I just like going back to this DLC thing, because all of us were like, that's dumb. No one will ever buy that. And everybody was like, watches. And
so I wonder though what the conversion rate on that was in terms of like people
dump
who
trucks
are anti-
full of money, Jordan.
Well, no. Let me finish my fucking thought.
No,
was then screw you. The people who were anti buying horse. How many of those people did actually like make the switch to buying cosmetic DLC? Like, I wonder how many people have changed their mind over the time, or if it's
cosmetic DLC.
The new audience. It's the new audience that's more willing to buy this stuff, right?
You see that a lot nowadays because people will go, it's just cosmetic. So mm-hmm. as long as it's cosmetic, it doesn't have any effect on gameplay proper, then it's fine. That's acceptable.
It is 100%. Like, if that bugs you, you need to get your shit together. You need to be focused on self-improvement, not playing video games.
Or
you walk back
kid.
A few years and you look, oh yeah, no, the horse armor DLC, that was shit. Really? Was it now?
Also, don't give your kids money.
Yeah, don't give your kids a credit card.
I mean, you can, but this is going to fix itself, trust me.
We were talking about Fortnite earlier. That is an entirely
cosmetic-driven economy.
Dude, okay, all right. What is the current conversion to, like, chore bucks to swag bucks?
I won't give you money, but I'll buy you like 5,000 V-Bucks so you can use in Fortnite.
I don't know. I mean, does advertising in like movies bother you? Because all movies are just completely filled top to bottom with adverts these days.
Integrated advertising, like you have product placement in the background. That's not literally stopping you from playing the game to show your fucking ad.
So like and there are varying degrees of it, because like there's the 30 Rock take where it's just like, ah yes, we're here at Burger King for no reason other than to talk about how great Burger King is. They offered to underwrite this episode, so we're just
okay
here to
talk hang on
you Uncharted shut, you Subway the Subway thing
you I Loki okay
yeah Loki. Oh yeah, McDonald's
that's yeah, all we right. can say. It's like, damn, that check must have been
They had that location for one fucking day, so they're just like, we're gonna get all our shooting done in this fucking McDonald's.
They crawled up in some McDonald's, man. I was like,
they did, and it's clearly McDonald's, but they don't show the fucking M. They don't like show any of the iconography. They don't directly state it's a McDonald's.
And, like, you might need to go back and pay more attention because they refer to it as a McDonald's.
Do they refer to it?
100%.
Okay, all right. Because
there was nothing dodgy about it. I was like, no, this is a McDonald's that we don't want to spoil anything, but
yeah,
they
spend a lot of time at that.
It was egregious enough to where it was charming. It's like one of those things, right? You're like,
right, yeah. So there's a way you can do it to like make it work. It's intrusiveness, right? Like if you can see it and go like, but like if the plot stops for 20 minutes to talk about the Big Mac, and it's not some Rick and Morty-esque rant about how the Big Mac is going to gain arms and legs and devour us if we don't eat it first, then like, yeah, I don't know. But like,
but what if it's Samuel L. Jackson telling you about Royale with cheese?
Or what about the fucking like demented Quizno subs ad? What if we start getting those?
Those motherfuckers start chasing you around,
right? Like, refunds,
refund.
Right? That's the final boss in the new Resident Evil. It's just fucking Quizno sandwiches.
I'm trying to think of like the earliest example that I can remember. There were a few games in like late '90s, early 2000s.
The first one I noticed was Nine Inch Nails.
When you quit the game, it would give you like buy our newer games.
Okay, Doom, the original Doom shareware. When you closed, it would give you a text message of like, as oxygen pervades our atmosphere, should Doom, and you could buy it.
Same with OG Diablo. It had when you booted that up, that had a trailer for StarCraft.
Yeah,
like so like there is a degree of necessary advertising, but it is finding that line, and I think like pause. Pausing, like, I don't know.
Okay, how about this?
Your point of, like, if it's 30 seconds, show an ad, I think that's reasonable.
Get fucked. I just bought a game. I paid you money for an entertainment experience. Get your goddamn advertising sales shit
out.
Especially a AAA-priced game.
If we want to smoke crack and go to that reality, sure. but it's still going to happen.
Yeah, I'm like, just not going to buy
I'm
the game.
I'm talking about levels of acceptability.
Like, that's also going to happen. It's like, fuck this game. I don't have like a crippling addiction to goddamn video games, dude. I'm like, if you're going to hit me like that, you better make it in 1999.
So if that just became standard, would you just like say goodbye to video games? Or just, whatever games predated that, that's what I have. No new.
So would I continue playing video games like I currently do? Yes.
I'm pretty sure if that becomes the default in the AAA space, a lot more people will start paying attention to the indie games.
Well, that's
I think it's going to become like more common in the indie space, though. That's where they.
Oh boy, good luck with that. I mean, that
they will burn a lot of goodwill and a lot of bridges if they try.
For me, it boils down to you vote with your wallet. Like, you know, I'm not going to sit and bitch. Yeah, I'm not going to get fisted, and I don't like getting fisted, and be like, oh well, you know, you just got to deal with it now. I'm like, I don't have to get fisted. And I'm like, you know what? To like what I was saying, Jordan, wasn't even a snide thing. Like, I usually play old games anyway, so
yeah.
How many AAA titles do you have you bought in the last 5 years?
Five, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe yeah. One a year. Like, yeah. I think I'll manage.
but I'm just saying, like, I think this is like the unfortunate reality is I think this is just going to become more and more commonplace. And like as like game prices continue to go down because we're willing to pay less and less and less and less, they're going to. At least, especially in the indie scene, because you're not going to pay $50 for an indie game. I don't know. You might pay $50 for Hollow Knight. I don't think most people would pay $50 for Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight was famously $20,
right? But which still falls into indie price. But what I'm saying is, like, there may be a time where games like Hollow Knight need to start including advertisements because the only sales and only plays they get are through stuff like Game Pass, and they're getting a pittance.
Here's how you do that: you release an ad-free version of the game. Make it cost
and you
more.
Charge money for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You get like the YouTube premium version of the game. Like you give me that option. Right. Okay. Because it's not the ads so much. It's the data and tracking that come along with the adverts. They're not just showing you a banner. They're just keeping track of when it showed up, what you were doing when it showed up, how long you looked at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I would be okay if, okay. It's an Assassin's Creed game instead of the $70 that it costs to mm-hmm. get you that game. It's free, but it's got ads. All right, okay.
Okay, yeah, like this is Ubisoft, yeah, though. It's $19.99, but it's got ads.
Yeah, and again, that's the thing. Like, for a subsidized experience, I think I'm a little more tolerable. I'm a little more tolerant.
Subsidized 100% for, but to like yeah, something mm-hmm. that, you know, talk about the dystopian shit, they don't want that. They want the full price.
No, of course not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, ideally, they want you to see the ads and pay a subscription and pay an upfront fee.
Perfect like, world.
Yeah. Or you would pay per instance of doing the thing, right? That would be ideal.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Write in. Let us know what you think.
Bobby, hire us. Bobby Kotick.
If you like ads in your video games, if you don't, you get rid of them. Or are you going to put up with them? Or are you going to be like me? I'm like, I am just, you know, I'm right where I can be, you know, clutter the interface up to a point, but if they ever cross that membrane of like start like visibly showing up, I'm like, hey, buy this shit. What I'm trying to,
I had a fairly violent reaction to Payday 2 because that was up to that point, the single most egregious like bullshit advertising game. Just buy all the DLCs. The top button was buy DLC. The bottom button was buy DLC.
Jordan's gonna bring up what I'm about to bring up. I know your brain just went there.
What is the dark pattern? What is the dark pattern mastery that will just drive people to accidentally click on the fucking purchases? Because that's what they're gonna do.
We
right?
are playing it tonight in the after shows. And what game am I talking about?
I don't know.
A game where you have roughly a 7-8% chance of clicking on something that is not going to take you directly to a store to buy something.
Oh, Stumble Buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all dark battered, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a straight up mobile game, though, and it's free to play.
But it can get worse. It can get worse. So much worse.
Oh, man. All right. So, yeah. Send us an email, leave a comment. What you think about ads and games, and we will definitely get back to you. Might read it here on this very show. If you want to use our contact form, We get that if you want to reach out and touch. If you want to rub on Pedro's nose or maybe Pedro's toes, however you want to do it. You know, toes and
toes are pornographic nowadays, so
get that Pedro glows.
Fill it out and it's working, and we'll share it about, we'll trade it and like look at it and read it, and we might put it up like this Ziptastic from Jan or Jan?
Jan. I work with a guy named Jan, so it's spelled like that. I don't know. It says, back in my day, we played DOS games to pass the time. Now, there's a lot of those old games are stored in RAR files, which can be a bit tricky to open. I've been using WinRAR through Wine, but I'm wondering if there's a better option that's native to my system and has a nice graphical user interface, GUI, to make things easier.
Right.
Yeah, File now, Roller and UnRAR.
First things first. You get a point if I want to believe you're just fucking with us.
Right, yeah, right. Yes.
Absolutely.
Want to. However.
Yeah, all of the GUIs like Arc, File Roller, X-Archiver,
can you install,
and Grandpa.
All right. And is WinRAR or anything like that available in Lotris?
You can probably make it work with Wine.
I'm asking, is there a fucking installer script? I want to know if there's a like path to like this being believable.
So, What I want to know, people send us some hate mail for this. Has anyone actually bought a WinRAR license? That's what I want to know.
No.
Has someone taken out their credit card and purchased WinRAR for real?
LGR did. Dude, LGR made a video that he paid.
WinRAR and WinZip quit functioning with a undoable license, society would collapse overnight with the amount of like... What is the one GNOME?
File roller.
File roller.
Use that one, because like whatever Debian ships with out of box, it's the one that kind of looks like file roller, but it sucks.
X-Archiver.
Yeah. That might be it.
Yes. X-Archiver is the one that looks like File Roller, but it's a bit shit. There's Arc for KDE, there's Ngrumpa for Mate, there's a few others. But yeah, you just need to download UnRAR. It's in your distro's repositories or p7zip-full. That gives you access to everything, basically. So, yeah.
Do you really need a GUI, though? I mean, this kind of depends. Like, are we talking about... I don't run into RAR files very often.
That's not true at all, and I know the place where you do.
No, I have a script that...
but yeah, it runs the command line
utility.
That
script runs on RAR, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't run into that. I just click on the thing and it launches.
Right. And this is the strategy that I suggest to Jan, is to find some auto-extraction utility that just does it for you, and then not have to worry about it.
But if you have an RAR installed, File Roller will give you the files inside. It'll be a nice GUI.
The CLI isn't bad. It's like UnRAR X to extract the thing. And if you have, it'll like auto detect the multi-part RARs as well.
The graphical user interface was a specified requirement.
I think Jan should just suck
Pedro,
it up.
Pedro Mateus, both X F2. And Wayland are graphical user interfaces, and he's going to open a virtual terminal.
Yeah.
Yes, you can open a terminal in a GUI.
No. Every time you need to extract a RAR file, boot into single user mode and then use the command line to extract your
package. I will give this a little bit of advice, because this is something you might genuinely run into. Make sure you install good RAR, good UnRAR, which is not the free version.
The one that is now not patented and cupboard anymore, but it was for many, many years.
The hippie version? No, I get the evil corporate version because it works, man.
It's like MP3 these days. It's like, the MP3s, codecs. Well, now you can just play your MP3s.
Yeah, but those people are still mad that nobody picked up Ogg Vorbis, man.
FLAC.
Yeah, FLAC's got traction in the audio world because it's a great way to like reduce your masters. But the OGV and OGG, like, it just never took off. Unfortunate. Cookies. We got into something inadvertently, I will say, last week. Just straight up turned it into a video game.
Yes. Matt says, watching you go through crazy cookie cutters was the most fun I had this week. Lol.
And no, that's not a metaphor. That's literal.
We're 12, dude. And somewhere in here,
somewhere in all this 12-year-old art.
Right. Hey, there we go. More 12-year-old. Yeah. So, I
that's Ohio.
Yeah, clearly. That's Wyoming, you dumbass.
Wyoming.
Yes, it's clearly. Always Wyoming.
It's always Wyoming, man. a subreddit that I had followed for a long, long time. And we just like played around with it. And I revisited it and turned it. It used to be a legitimate subreddit where people were like, what about the hell do you think this is? And people would just like have guesses. Now it's just turned into an art project.
Mm-hmm. People make their own cookie cutters.
Yes. And, they have, I think, legitimate cookie cutters, but then people fill it in. They've turned it into a coloring book.
It's Gossamer.
So where
a penis baby.
I'm feeling Wyoming and or Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wyoming. 100%. See, told you.
Great
Wyoming.
State of Minnesota. Eh?
It's always Wyoming.
When in doubt, the answer is Wyoming. Take that to your driving test, by the way. When in doubt, Wyoming.
I kind of want to know the origin story of Wyoming.
Why?
Inside the cookie cutter? Yeah, well, because I'm trying to come up with like a rule set, and I think Wyoming is like reset board. It moved to next.
Isn't Wyoming
cutter.
Just like a big square? Like the actual state of the shape is a square?
I'm not good on U.S. geography, but it's one of the square ones, I think. I think it's higher than I think it is.
Yeah, I just Googled that. Wyoming is a big-ass fucking square.
All right. I think Josh lives in Wyoming.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that it was something like someone posted a legitimate, like, what is this? And someone must have said, oh yeah, that looks like Wyoming. It's about the right shape. And it kind of stuck.
Okay.
Because that's usually how those go. It's something stupidly simple that just sticks.
Why can't they just come up with hell ox like normal people? Why is it going to be something weird like Wyoming? Wyoming's scary, man.
It's those Wyoming wildebeests.
I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap us up for our holiday-ish type edition.
Thanksgiving.
All the turkeys were given.
During Thanksgiving, is that our mad rhyme?
Well, it's no nut November, so it's Thanksgiving, right?
Toes and nose,
baby. I thought
it
was all nut November now.
Toes and nose, all the way down. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Blue Sky under something. I fuck all idea. But if you're on Mastodon, I'm at Vin on mast.leagueschemecast.com. And on Zitter, just at Vin Stone. I'm always in our Discord saying hi, hanging out, doing things, talking smack with these guys. And everybody else who is a patron or a Twitch sub. Link that up. Also, we got IRC and all the other places you can find us.
I'm Jordan. I'm your favorite no legume month. You can find me on Mastodon at Frojo at mast.linuxgamecast.com. I'm on Blue Sky now. I guess I got to post some stuff.
Do you know
to
what
that.
Your Blue
I'm
Sky is?
At frojo.bsky.social.
God
I had to look
right,
it up.
You win. Fuck.
And I'm still on Twitter at Burning Pool. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I am not on the Blue Math. But you can find me on Mastodon. It's at unaccounted four with the actual number four at mast.linuxgamecast.com. It's, yeah, I'm just going to stick with Mastodon.
Which one's your alt Mastodon?
Oh, I do have an alt Mastodon. It's, I don't remember my exact
it's secret,
username. Because
that's where he posts all the nudes.
Toes and nose 420.
So it's XX on Mastodon.
Toes and nose 420 underscore XX.
It's
time for some credits.
Yes.
I'm a genius with a capital J.
That's why
Pedro underscore Mateusz at mast.2.
Oh, that's very professional. Just like our advisors, Omegas and Arthur and our less professionals, executive producers, Bart Bramp, Scott Michaud, Mike G, Scott, Tomasz, drummer, Hakim, Dave Eshep, and Ian.
Chicago kicks butt when super that stout empty. Glorious Agarola, Nubbin, and the Sea Monster, Renoa, Rider X, Machina, Trudgy, Veritanuta, Justin, Nubbin, Darkwing, System D, Dancing Joe, Ogie One, and Kyrillo. All the death notes from Nova to Marco. You're all truly
incredible
wonderful.
Lyric.
Didn't we have someone we needed to thank as well?
Jason?
Did we?
Jason!
You mentioned
Jason!
Something.
I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, no, it was the guy from Collabra. Never mind. Ah. Never mind.
Thank you again, guy from Collabra, a.k.a. Mark.
Yes. Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Guy Labra. And now he's never going to email us again. Love you, Mark.
Died of fire, everyone. I'll see you next week.
If you or someone you love has suffered from Guy Labara, you might be entitled to financial compensation.
Five dudes.